Welcome to Pretty Lies and Alibis. Let's seek the truth and travel the long road to justice together. What you know, alibiers? I'm Gigi. Welcome to another episode of Pretty Lies and Alibis. A little late tonight because my kids had registration for their high school classes. Ugh, my daughter is starting her junior year. And then next year, I'm just going to be a mess the whole year, y'all, because she wants to go to college in Ireland. Ireland. Crazy. They grow up so fast. It is insane. Real quick, want to give a big thank you to Danella, Lauren, and Sybil for the donations. I really do appreciate that a lot. And so as we go through this series, I know we did the text series where Fruit Loop and I went back and forth reading these texts, but sometimes I may stick some of these in if they are relevant to what we're talking about or give a little more context to where we're at. So, but no, I'm not going to throw them all in. So, you know, Fruit Loop did her what you know facts. Well, I learned a really interesting song fact today. So I grew up on Dolly Parton, like love, love, love Dolly Parton. And 9 to 5 was one of the movies that I watched a lot as a kid. And so I didn't know this, but when she was writing 9 to 5, she wrote that song in between scenes filming the movie. And she used her acrylic nails to, you know, at the beginning of the song, if you're familiar, it sounds like a typewriter. It's not. It's her nails. So she would use her nails to get the beat down for the song. And in fact, her acrylic nails have a credit on that album. Really cool stuff. Maybe I should do like weird song facts or something, because you know, like that I'm a music freak. Got my Stevie shirt on. I'm superstitious, so I'm hoping we get good seats. So I'm wearing a Stevie shirt every day till they go on sale Friday. All right. So if you guys remember a couple of episodes ago, we talked about the changes that Melanise's dad started noticing in the springtime with her. She would talk about light and dark spirits, referred to people as like warriors, and talked about the second coming. So when Steve would try to question Melanise about what she was saying, she would say, "I've got my revelation. You get your own." Well, he told investigators during one of their interviews that his wife, Christine, would travel once a year to Melanise and Brandon's house to kind of help them out. They have four kids. It's, you know, it can get crazy. But the last trip had a really big difference. And Steve said his wife told him the house was just really filthy and unkept, and there were holes in the wall. Christine had never seen the house like this and essentially spent the entire trip trying to clean up. And everyone was constantly on electronic devices. Melanise was constantly on her phone and then just would randomly get up and say she was leaving for a couple of hours to go to the temple. And his wife said that happened every day while she was visiting. So you start to see that big change in her around springtime, according to her dad. So on May 1st, Charles emailed someone that Lori didn't want a divorce, but wanted to live under the same roof and not be his wife. He says she doesn't want to be with me anymore. I'm not sure I can do that. So she just wanted that money to keep coming in, but not actually have to be his wife. Sorry, y'all. My hair is like going right into my eyeball. So Lori and Zulema text on May 2nd, and Zulema asks if everything is okay with Lori and her family. And Lori said she just finished clearing the whole world, y'all. She cleared the whole world that day. Ah, she said, "It's a big deal. You were there every day, part of me." And Zulema tells Lori that she has a feeling that something may happen to one of her family members. So, of course, Lori's intrigued and says to call her. On May 3rd, Zulema texts Chad and says that someone in Lori's family is going to die. So May 4th was Tammy Daybell's 49th birthday and unfortunately her last. And we really haven't discussed a lot about who Tammy was as a person. And unfortunately, I got pretty much all of this from her obituary. I've heard some friends of hers speak out about her. Just really sounds like such a nice, loving lady. But, you know, we know the sad ending, but we don't really know about her kind of beginnings and middle. So I wanted to take a moment to just talk about Tammy. And it says that she enjoyed growing up in South Pasadena and Anaheim in Southern California with her Cooper cousins and living close to Disneyland. She and all her siblings were chartered members of the mentally gifted students at, I think it's Cerritos Elementary School, which enabled Tammy to develop creative thinking skills that she used throughout the rest of her life. It says she loved putting on family shows that she produced and directed, getting family members to join in, and she had a happy childhood with many memories, including trips to the beach, camping at Elfin Forest and Calico Ghost Town. When Tammy was 13, she moved with her family to Springville, Utah. She was an excellent student. She played the drums and the clarinet in the Springville High School band and was the yearbook editor her senior year. There's a picture of her doing the editing of the yearbook I should put out there. But most of all, she was known for her friendly smile and kindness to everyone. Tammy shared a love of books and reading with her family and created her own library, lending books to her siblings with actual library cards and fines when they weren't returned on time. She loved classical musical movies and learned the songs and words, and then she and her siblings would reenact them. And I'm just going to say, while that guy continued his schooling, Tammy supported the family by working as the secretary for Springville Parks Department. As part of her job, she typed thousands of handwritten burial records into a computer database. Doing that helped spark her interest in family history, which later became her favorite hobby. And throughout her life, she submitted more than 100,000 names for temple ordinance work. She even managed to teach her computer-challenged mother to learn and join in the gathering of family history, which her family said was a miracle. After that guy graduated and took a job in Ogden, Utah, Tammy became a full-time homemaker and mother as their family began to grow. She loved her children deeply and encouraged them in countless ways, and she often took the children to public libraries and helped them develop a passion for reading. The family returned to Springville, where Tammy later became the computer teacher at Art City Elementary. Says Tammy was a computer genius who had a talent for graphic arts. And in 2004, she co-founded Spring Creek Book Company with that guy. And Tammy wore many hats as their company grew, juggling her role as chief financial officer and also designing book covers. She was the true backbone of the company, and she was proud of the dozens of books the company published over the years. In 2015, the family moved to Salem, Idaho, and she became the assistant librarian at Madison Middle School. She later became the librarian at Central Elementary School in Sugar City, Idaho. She was treasured and loved by the staff and students alike. She served in numerous capacities in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, including as Stake Girls Camp Director and as Young Woman President. She also served in Relief Society and primary presidencies. She loved the women and girls she was privileged to serve with. Tammy's true focus throughout her life was her family, from serving a delicious dinner each Sunday to remembering every birthday and holiday with gifts. She also loved all sorts of animals, but she especially loved Indian runner ducks. She also raised pigeons, chickens, cats, and rabbits, knowing each one by name. She loved gardening, cooking, and playing games with the family. Her laugh will be remembered and cherished. And at the time she was murdered, Tammy had two grandchildren and a third on the way. And I just want to, I think a lot of you guys know, but if you're new to the case, you may not know, her family started a nonprofit in her honor called the Tammy Douglas Daybell Foundation. And you can Google that and go to the website. It says the foundation's mission is to give children the opportunity to learn to love the written word. Tammy loved books and children, and she was also a school librarian at the time of her death. Donations will be utilized to give books to children that they may keep for themselves, assist libraries with various programs, and support literacy programs across the country. We are excited to begin fundraising events and ask for volunteers. Programs are being developed that will allow you to make a difference in your community, wherever that may be. Volunteer opportunities will be announced in the near future. Please watch our website for more updates. So that's TammyDaybellFoundation.com. And the cool thing is this, not everybody has money to donate, but if you shop on Amazon At the bottom of her foundation page is a link you can click, which will designate a portion of the profits to go to her foundation. And I think that's really, really cool. So Alibiers, get on it. If you don't already support charity on Amazon, let's send some money into Tammy's foundation. So let's go back to these crazy texts. Zulema texts Lori, I was under attack this afternoon right after I had a message at the temple today. Could we try and do a call with you and Serena? Can you talk? Lori responds, yes, try to call me. There are 18. The 18 are not out till Thursday, but since the DE are all gone from the earth, the entities are stepping it up. Okay. Yeah. So May 5th, 2019 is when she takes the screenshot of the malachite rings found on Lori's iCloud. This is 2 months, I might add, before Charles is murdered, and a little over 5 months before Tammy Daybell is murdered. So we know they were planning to marry before then, but we know for a fact by May 5th, she's looking up wedding rings. Also, there is a Zoom call with the girls, and in text, Lori asks Zulema what powers they're going to use, and Zulema says crystals, vibrating fire, ice, water, lightning, wind, stormy sky, fiery cherubim. And Zulema says, I feel the ice is going to be the most critical because, as Mel said, it paralyzes them. After the Zoom meeting, Lori texts Zulema, how fun to have all of us together. Powerful. May 6th, Zulema texts Lori, is Garrett aware of who we are? As you know, Ned Schneider, who was the fake entity in Charles, became Garrett. That was the second one. Zulema says, last night I had a very vivid and disturbing dream. I was at your house. It was a very big house, and Garrett was there. You were there. Your daughter was there. Lori responds, he is aware. Yes, he uses a lot of weapons and tactics against me. It's a constant struggle. So May 8th, Charles emails someone that he agreed with Lori that he would move out soon. And May 10th, Charles forwards Lori a breakdown of expenses for a rental house and a message also that a refund is on the way. May 11th, Charles visits websites about how to file for divorce in Texas without a lawyer. On May 17th, this is interesting. I'm going to put this picture up on screen if you're on YouTube. So on May 17th, Chad goes to West Jordan, Utah to talk to filmmaker Devin K. Hansen about making a movie out of his book, Chasing Paradise. In December of 2019, Fox 13, Salt Lake City, and November 2021 on Dateline, they interviewed a model and actress named Valentina and also Devin Hansen. So how they got involved in this is interesting. Valentina's family reached out to her and said they saw her picture on a book cover, which was Chasing Paradise. And it was a stock photo that she had taken during a photo shoot. So Valentina reached out to Chad after realizing the main character was similar to her and her own life, which led to this meeting that if you're on YouTube, you can see the picture between Valentina and Devin Hansen, who was a local aspiring filmmaker. And Devin told Dateline in 2021 that he was super excited, thinking this would be a big break for him as an independent filmmaker. And at the meeting, Valentina said Chad talked about the afterlife, and they bounced things off of each other. And also Tammy got involved as well. They bounced things kind of between Chad and Tammy and Devin and Valentina. Devin sent Chad scripts to look at. Then all communications stopped. The last communication, Monday, September 23rd, the day we believe JJ was murdered, or we know JJ was murdered. And so the response that Chad gave to Devin was, thanks so much. They later saw on Facebook about Tammy's death and sent messages to Chad expressing their support. Valentina told Dateline he responded to her and said thank you, and that correspondence seemed very normal. And at the time of the interview with Fox 13 Salt Lake City, this was in December of 2019, they had tried to call Chad a few days earlier but got no response. Valentina said it was just all crazy and unexpected. And Devin said he was in shock and the movie idea clearly was canceled. But I just thought that was interesting that, that was going to happen. So May 21st, Lori tells the group, which is Zulema, Gibb, Melanie, Serena, Christina, and Nicole, that she can't do a conference call because she's being monitored and it's not safe for her. So I think this maybe was a casting out session. And Gibb told investigators that Zoom call did happen, and they had two or three more. And everyone, as we know, had their own roles in these casting out using the elements and things like that. So May 25th, JJ turns 7. And unfortunately, that is that sweet boy's last birthday. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of his teachers at his school. As you guys know, me and Fruit Loop both worked on a high school level with kids that have autism. So we totally get what his teachers were saying. They had gathered to honor JJ after, I believe, they were found. And they talked to Arizona Central, which is a website you can go to. They shared memories of JJ's smile, his joy, and his dance moves. One teacher said, "I remember him just being so excited to come here to school, running down the hall. He could not wait for class to meet teachers, play along with friends. JJ loved it here. He loved being around his peers. The classroom was his home." And, you know, that is something that I saw every single day working in a contained class, is these kids form bonds like brothers and sisters, and they have their own routines together, and the teacher has their own routine. And it is like a little home where they feel comfortable and safe. And it was always so amazing to see the friendships just so solid. The teachers also said that I thought this was precious, that JJ brought a whole suitcase full of stuff from his home on his first day. Another teacher said that JJ was one of those friends that he was going to do great things. We work with so many different types of children. JJ was just one of those that you knew could possibly go back to a mainstream classroom, that would play sports or go to dances, graduate, maybe get married, and then that was taken. And another teacher said Charles Vallow was a great father. He would do anything for his son. He was on top of it at school, provided what you needed to have to be successful, and said that JJ was just a happy kid. And you know, there's one of my favorite videos that I've ever seen of JJ is when Charles is picking him up and Kay and Larry are there, and he is so surprised. The little giggle in his voice, it's just, man, what a beautiful little moment captured that just shows pure joy in this kid's heart. So, yeah, bless it. May 27th, Lori is in Arizona. And in text messages, she tells Zulema she is recording a podcast at Gibb's house, and they make plans to meet at the temple in the celestial room. I hope they saged that celestial room after all this stuff, y'all. They had to get some stuff out there. So May 28th, Lori texts Zulema, "I will. Garrett was out for almost 2 minutes and crawled back in. We need to do it again, maybe tomorrow." So on the same day, it seems like Lori flies to Salt Lake City on Delta Airlines, and she paid $347.30 for that ticket. Now, I got really confused here, guys, and I think maybe it's just like so much of looking at documents and it just got overwhelming. But for 2 hours, I tried to figure this out. They agreed to meet in the temple, but Lori's in Utah. So I'm sitting here and I'm just trying to figure out, how in the heck is she in Utah and Arizona? But what it is, they're meeting through text at different temples and texting all this hogwash. So on May 29th at 10:06 a.m., Zulema texts Lori, "I will go in spirit when the bombs go off, and I'll be there to see JJ's spirit go to the presence of the Lord. Then I and the angels will protect the bodies and not allow for them to be possessed by evil." How do these people sleep at night? Like, now, how do you sleep at night? I just don't get it, y'all. 10:32 a.m., Lori texts Zulema, "Perfect. I found out there are 4. One is a level 4 entity. His name is Iplos. The H is silent. There are 3 other level 3s. Let's do this." So at 3:36 p.m., Zulema texts Lori, "I encapsulated them with the invisible hidden capsules that will close and capture them as soon as the bomb goes off and they leave the body. also created a safe path guarded by warrior angels for Jonas to come and bind them and take them away as soon as they exit the body. I have a good feeling of this. I saw myself protecting the bodies. And of course, Lori tells Zulema that she is a goddess. May 30th, Charles texts Lori, Blue Cross, Blue Shield is a freaking nightmare. I feel you on that, Charles. We do not have a policy with them. I have to start all over because our qualifying event was moving from Arizona to Texas. They said the plan they quoted doesn't show in the system. I'm on with them now, going on 50 minutes. I'll update you as if I make any progress. Lori responds, I can go online and start over and pick another policy. Is their website accepting payments? Are you taking JJ to Adventure Kids? Is he still asleep? Charles responds, and I need to know whether or not to pay our old health insurance people. If we got Blue Cross, Blue Shield, we don't. So around this time, Zulema is texting Lori asking if she wants to meet up for lunch tomorrow. But Lori responds, I would love to, but I'm out of town. And that's kind of where I realized they were doing this over text. I'm not going to the conference, but thought it was important to my friendship with Gib to go to Utah with her. I'm hoping to have a reason soon to have to go back to Texas. Working on that now. I'm told he can't stay there more than 5 days, so it has been 2. I'm told our time bomb is in effect, and it's only a matter of time and circumstance. Remember, I'm told is something that Zulema and Gib both said. When Lori said, I'm told, that means that came from Chad. Let's see. Lori also says, I've also found out some other great info, and your revelation yesterday about hidden entities and deeply hidden entities was the key. Again, you are amazing, Zulema. I just love you so much. So Zulema says, I have a feeling that you will have a reason to go back very soon. I'm continuing to send storms, fire, lightning, fireballs, the light of Christ, and the love of Heavenly Father as our biggest weapon against them soon. Very soon. So we're almost finished with this episode. On May 31st, Charles texts Lori, I know you've got a busy day, but I need you to answer one question, yes or no. Do we have new health insurance effective tomorrow? Have a great day. I don't see that there was any kind of a response, but Lori apparently didn't need health insurance and she didn't need to eat or go tinkle either because she was exalted. So Chad was supposed to speak at a conference, but didn't, saying there was a family emergency. And the event announced that David Warwick and Sean Littlebear would be filling in for Chad. And the event spokesperson said, we regret he won't be able to attend this Preparing a People event. But I think Lori was still in town, so that was the family emergency. A loin fire, essentially. June 1st, Chad does a Google search for Iplos twice. So we're getting into June. We know July 11th is when Charles was murdered. We're going to stop here. The next bit gets kind of deep and really don't want to make this an hour long. But anyways, really appreciate you guys listening in. And I'm keeping an eye on the other cases we cover. It's just really quiet right now. We do have coming up in a few weeks, the Wagner trial out in Ohio, Pike County Massacre. I am very interested in that trial. And anyway, so thank you guys. Welcome to all of our new listeners. We have a lot of new listeners. And just want to make sure you guys know I'm on social media. I'm very active. Reach out. You can send the inbox. You can email me, gg@prettyliesandalibis.net. So anyways, I hope you guys have a really good evening. I'm going to go watch a movie with my kiddos. We will see you soon.